So one thing that we don't know when somebody with migraine and lupus, when the headache gets worse, is there the reason for worsening of the headache is a natural pattern of the migraine, or the lupus is basically triggering the migraine? And that's important, because if this is a natural cause of the migraine, we need to do more aggressive treatment for migraine. But if the lupus is triggering the migraine, which this is that I see most often, if you want to get rid of the migraine or treat the headache, you need to treat the underlying lupus more aggressively. So in these patients, if you use more migraine medication, probably won't respond too much. These are the people that they refer to me as intractable migraine. While when you go and treat the underlying autoimmune disorder, the migraine gets better. And that is the part that we need a little more research, and I'm hoping that we can educate the community and as well as our colleague about this issue to look at the possibility of some triggering by underlying autoimmune disorder in the people who label as intractable migraine.
Ever feel a strange pain that doesn't seem to have anything to do with a typical migraine attack? Or wonder whether to consult a neurologist or a rheumatologist about your symptoms like facial pain? You're not alone. Some people with face pain might have underlying autoimmune disorders. Autoimmune disorders such as lupus, Sjogren's celiac, anemia, and IBS are fairly common in the migraine community. But why? Dr. Hossein Ansari is a UCNS certified headache specialist and associate professor of neurology at UC San Diego. He's highly experienced in caring for people with migraine, cluster headaches, and trigeminal neuralgia, who also experience comorbid conditions, some of which include conditions defined as autoimmune disorders. This year, he convened a global panel to discuss the latest developments in autoimmune disorders at the International Headache Congress. Dr. Ansari, welcome to the Migraine World Summit.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me here.
You know, each year we poll people in our audience to learn about their most burning questions. And each year autoimmune disorders comes up as a pretty hot topic and a tricky one. So people are literally begging for answers because there's not that much published information out there. So first, what is an autoimmune disorder?
Yes, it's a very good question. And autoimmune disorder, before talk about the autoimmune disorder, let's talk about the immune system in the body. So what is immune system? Immune system in the body is a complex network of cells and organs in the body, which their job is to recognize the foreign invader and attack them. However, what happens sometime in the body, there's some flaw happen in this immune system, and this flaw make the immune system to basically cannot recognize foreign from non-foreign invaders. And then this system starts producing some antibody against their own cells and attack them by mistake. Why this happened, that's a different story. Why that's basically pathophysiology of autoimmune disorder. But when this happened, the antibody, which we are calling autoantibody, invading the cells and destroy them. It doesn't let them function well and cause a lot of problems. So depend on where that cell's dysfunction, the symptom from that organ will happen. So sometimes this cell could be in kidney, could be in liver, but also could be in the nervous system or in the peripheral nervous system, particularly, which is area of my interest, including trigeminal nerve that can be attacked by autoimmune disorder, particularly some certain autoimmune disorder like Sjogren's disease or scleroderma, the trend to attack the trigeminal nerve more than some other autoimmune disorders.
Okay, so if migraine is a primary headache disorder, would autoimmune disorder be considered a trigger or a comorbidity or a secondary disorder?
Yes, could be all. So if it's secondary, that's different. I'm not going to call it migraine because migraine is a primary headache disorder. Yes, some of the autoimmune disorders can have headache as their presentation. For example, lupus can cause antiphospholipid syndrome and then cause headache because of that, or cause a stroke and cause headache. So that's not primary headache. That's a secondary headache. But my main area of interest is comorbidity of migraine and autoimmune disorder, which we see often, and maybe we talk less in headache community about this comorbidity. We know that autoimmune disorder is more common in the migraine, or migraine people turn to have a more autoimmune disorder, and there is a lot of study done, there is a lot of epidemiologic study done in this. One of the recent one, our colleague in Brazil, actually, they did the study, the rheumatology colleague, and they looked at the prevalence of the migraine in their in the lupus, and it was 42.5% of the people with lupus had migraine, and
wow,
the control was 10. So it is four times more, and this actually study published in Cephalalgia, which International Headache Society journal, although done by rheumatologists. It's a very interesting study. And also, if you look at the general epidemiology between autoimmune disorder and migraine, you find a lot of commonality between these two. For example, we know migraine is more common in female, maybe threefold more. The same thing with majority of autoimmune disorder, about two to three times more in female. More in
the middle of their lives, too,
and
correct?
Exactly, that's why my next thing. It's mid-age, younger to mid-age. And also the other commonality between autoimmune and migraine is the cycle of relapse and remission. So we in the migraine, sometime in the life, migraine flare up, become more frequent, sometimes go to the remission. Exactly the same thing that happened in most of the autoimmune disorder. You have flare up and remission. So if you look at the generally, there's a lot of commonality between migraine and autoimmune disorder. Plus, as I mentioned, autoimmune disorder more common in migraine and vice versa.
Interesting. So it seems like there are hundreds of autoimmune disorders that cross a variety of subspecialties. What kind of doctor can really effectively address an autoimmune disorder?
So autoimmune disorder, the specialty that rheumatologists mainly take care of that. However, since autoimmune disorder are systemic disease, that means they can involve different organ in the body. It depends on which organ involved that specialist will be involved. For example, if involved in attack the kidney, so nephrologist will be the person. If they attack the basically the blood and cause the anemia, hemolytic anemia, the hematologist will be involved. And if attack the brain, so the neurologist will be involved in this case.
So some of the people watching this may not have an autoimmune disorder or know that they have it. Tell us what some of the most common autoimmune disorders are.
Yes. So the most the well-known autoimmune disorder, probably lupus, everybody heard about that. But there's a lot of other autoimmune disorder. You mentioned hundreds. I know about 80 disease, autoimmune disease, at least we know about that. So besides lupus, rheumatoid arthritis is the common one that the people might heard about that can be seen in the adolescence, called juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, or in the later life. And then Sjogren syndrome, which is common and underdiagnosed autoimmune disorder. All the people with Sjogren does not know they have the Sjogren because the symptom is very unspecific, so dry mouth, dry skin, dry eye, joint pain, fatigue, these kind of things could be seen in Sjogren syndrome. And so if you see the number of the people that have dry eye, so some of them might have actually underlying Sjogren, they don't know. As I mentioned, autoimmune disorder like migraine, so cannot be progress all the time. So we have the people with migraine, have episodic migraine, just few migraine per year, and never go to the higher cycle of the migraine. So the same thing that happened with autoimmune disorder. Somebody with Sjogren might have Sjogren, never had severe symptom, and basically he doesn't even know about that. So then we have the bowel disorder, inflammatory bowel disorder, celiac. These are autoimmune disorder. And then we have Raynaud's. Raynaud's is the condition of the skin, that discoloration of the skin with cold, whether specifically become white and purplish blue. That is autoimmune condition, which could be primary, which we call Raynaud's phenomena, or could be secondary to some other autoimmune disorder like scleroderma, which is the autoimmune disorder that's more associated with Raynaud's disease. So we have Raynaud's phenomena and Raynaud's disease. These are, and also vitiligo, it's another autoimmune. And thyroiditis. Hashimoto's or thyroiditis, which is very common autoimmune disorder.
So we talked about a lot of those. Are any of these ones you see more commonly in your clinical practice?
Absolutely. So the one that I see the most is the Sjogren, lupus, Raynaud's a lot. I'm really surprised at the number of the people that had Raynaud's and also have a migraine.
My feet are cold as we're talking right now. Do you think I have it?
Maybe. And actually, we will see more of the Raynaud in the next future. The reason the development of this new anti-CGRP, monoclonal antibody, which we are using for the last year and a half now. So what they do, basically, CGRP is a vasodilator, and when we block that, we can aggravate the underlying Raynaud. So within last year, I had a lot of patients that they came and they described the Raynaud now. So this is not side effect of the medication. This is basically just patient has underlying Raynaud, and with using something that is blocking the CGRP, this is something that is a vasoconstrictor, you basically showing the underlying Raynaud. And actually, I saw the paper in Headache Journal, I believe, one of our colleagues basically did the two case reports, which is something that we expect that we'll see more and more. And if you ask the patient, sometimes they tell you, sometimes they don't tell you if you don't ask specifically about the skin changes, because they don't think it's anything serious. But
might not be part of the standard headache history that you take when you have a new patient, right?
Yes, that is always been. For the last 10 years, one of my questions in the headache question is Raynaud's. All I always ask that.
Okay.
And again, the number of the patients that check mark that question, it is very interesting.
So here's a simple question which might have a complex answer. Does migraine cause autoimmune disorders?
No, I do not think it causes. They are concurrent together.
Okay.
And so I don't think it's a causative relation. It's just more common. It's basically migraine, more common autoimmune and otherwise. I don't think it's a causative relation.
So you mentioned Sjogren syndrome. You've done some research in that area. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, Sjogren syndrome, as I mentioned, is one of the autoimmune disorders that might be underdiagnosed in general. And Sjogren syndrome, for some reason, love to attack the peripheral nervous system, either in the hand, feet, which cause small fiber neuropathy, or in the face, which involves trigeminal nerve and cause the facial pain. And the facial pain that happen in Sjogren people, usually in the younger people, and more female, of course, as you mentioned in most of the autoimmune disorder, the same basically epidemiologic thing. And these people present with facial pain, and they go from doctor to doctor, and sometimes even they go for some unnecessary procedures, because one of the differential diagnoses of facial pain, of course, is trigeminal neuralgia. And the treatment of trigeminal neuralgia is surgery, brain surgery, basically. And I see often in my clinic that the patient with autoimmune disorder, particularly Sjogren, had facial pain and they couldn't find the reason, and they went for surgery to treat that. And so that is something that's underdiagnosed, and I see a lot of these are the people that a lot of time we see labeled as atypical facial pain or persistent idiopathic facial pain, while when you go and look at the cause, you will find the autoimmune possibility in some of these patients.
And while we're talking about facial pain, many people with migraine have allodynia.
Yes.
And will have, you know, sensitivity in their face and in their scalp. Is that something completely different from Sjogren's?
The allodynia in the migraine is well-known phenomena from central sensitization. But the one thing that's important to know, the people with migraine sometimes can present with the facial pain. I mean, some of the people with migraine complain of teeth pain. Mm. So migraine, we know the activation of the trigeminal cervical or trigeminal vascular complex, and the trigeminal is face, basically. So the patient with migraine can have face pain. And in fact, a lot of people who refer me with the diagnosis of trigeminal neuralgia, we end up to have a migraine as their main diagnosis. So migraine can cause facial pain, and that's absolutely something that we see.
And scleroderma is a rare autoimmune disorder that is affected by the trigeminal nerve. So what does scleroderma have in common with migraine?
There's no commonality between scleroderma and migraine. One thing that we know is scleroderma is rare, but it's very commonly affected trigeminal nerve. So we know that scleroderma, one of the area that scleroderma love to target is the trigeminal nerve and cause the trigeminal neuropathy. But there's, I do not think, any relation between scleroderma and migraine. And in migraine, people rarely see scleroderma. You see, but it's not as common as lupus or Sjögren or rheumatoid arthritis or Raynaud's.
So how much do researchers really understand about autoimmune and migraine?
Very few. I mean, this is the area that we really need more research and more people to be involved in this area. As I outlined, the autoimmune disorder is the rheumatologic disorder, and the rheumatologists look at their own view of the autoimmune disorder. So when somebody with autoimmune disorder has headache or facial pain, usually rheumatologist doesn't like to see that. And when somebody with facial pain has the underlying autoimmune disorder, neurologist doesn't like to deal with that. And that's why it kind of left in between of the rheumatologists, neurologists, and even ENTs, dentists. So all of this specialty took a little care of these patients, but we really lack research in this area.
So you mentioned all the different doctors that somebody might see for their care, and a lot of people with migraines see neurologists for their care. Are there concerns related to autoimmune disorders that neurologists can't address?
Might be. So neurologists, of course, as a neurologist, you don't study too much about systemic disorder or medicine in general, although I believe the neurology is a branch of the medicine. So we cannot separate the neurology from other part of the medicine. And that's why actually some of the good headache experts in the country, including our current president, Professor Edwinson, is not even a neurologist, he's an internist. But again, yes, this is the area that I think we need a little more collaboration between neurology and internists, particularly rheumatologists, to understand more. And in fact, within the last 5-6 years, probably the number of the rheumatology articles that I read is more than neurology articles, because I find this is very fascinating and very interesting.
So let's get back to the root of this and talk about inflammation. What role does inflammation play in both migraine and autoimmune disorders?
Very good question. So inflammation is the basically root of both conditions, autoimmune and migraine. So we have long journey from calling the migraine a vascular headache until now, which we know or we call the migraine as a inflammation or neurogenic inflammation neuroinflammation. So there's actually an article by, again, Dr. Edwinson. He described neuroinflammation, neurogenic inflammation, and neurogenic neuroinflammation. And we call migraine as a neurogenic neuroinflammation. This is a very nice article published in Nature. And if your audience wants, they can look at the difference between the inflammation and neuroinflammation. But from vascular headache to neurogenic inflammation. So we know inflammation plays a role in the migraine, and the CGRP, which is the target of the new migraine treatment, is the main key or the key player of this inflammation. And in the autoimmune disorder also we have the inflammation. And there's some commonality in basically between those two conditions. Both inflammation play a role. And that's why the medication that we use actually in both migraine and autoimmune disorder sometimes is the same. If you look at the treatment for status migrainosus, the migraine attack which lasted more than 3 days, a lot of time we use steroids, right? We use oral steroid or we use IV steroid even as the inpatient treatment. So what we use in autoimmune disorders, we use the steroid there. That's the mainstay of treatment for most of the autoimmune disorder, steroid. Or the same thing, go back to the migraine. We use non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medication as the acute treatment of migraine, right? We use diclofenac, potassium. look at the rheumatologist, look at the autoimmune disorder. They use diclofenac sodium for basically inflammatory arthritis. So there is a lot of commonality even in treatment between migraine and autoimmune disorder.
Interesting. Esther asks, what's the relationship between migraine and diseases like celiac and asthma and rheumatological conditions?
Yes, actually we answered this question a little bit at the beginning. The relation is just more common. The migraine is more common in the autoimmune, and your audience asked about the asthma. Asthma also could be autoimmune condition, specifically when we talk about the allergic asthma. So the relation is just more common, commonality between autoimmune and some of those autoimmune disorder that your audience asked.
Angela asked a question about the connection between fibromyalgia, ME/CFS, and migraine.
That is a tricky question, particularly when we talk about the fibromyalgia. Fibromyalgia as a real organic disease is a little controversial subject. And so in my opinion, if you want to ask me what is the relation, I think the people who had the migraine and chronic migraine, they developed pain everywhere, and sometimes they label as a fibromyalgia while they might not have fibromyalgia. Or some of the patients with fibromyalgia might have underlying autoimmune disorder. It's not recognized, not discovered. Because going back to the autoimmune disorder, we talk about this autoantibody. We do not think we have recognized all of the autoantibody for all of the autoimmune disorder. We might have some antibody that we might discover 5-10 years from now. So some of those people that now labeled as fibromyalgia 10 years from now might find to have some autoimmune disorder.
Yeah, that's an area where I hope we do more research, because there are a lot of people who have body pain that gets labeled as fibromyalgia. It might be related to migraine, but we just don't know.
Or autoimmune. The one thing that I see all the time, the people that label that type of fibromyalgia, when I see them, because I'm now interested in neuro-rheumatology, I do a lot of workup on them, and often I find some rheumatologic condition.
Good to know. So Mary asked, she says, I have migraine, IBS, lupus, Raynaud's, and other symptoms linked to autoimmune disease. And some of these can be treated with steroids. Would they be a useful treatment for migraine if used responsibly?
Yes, we talked about that earlier, about the steroid for migraine. Yes, we use all the time. The problem with steroid, because of the long-term side effect, we don't like to use too much in migraine. People, I have the patients with migraine that beg me to use a steroid all the time, but we cannot use long-term, that side effect. But the problem or the issue that, this is a very good question from your audience. The people had concurrent, for example, lupus. Let's talk about the lupus, because that everybody knows about the lupus, and migraine. So one thing that we don't know, when somebody with migraine and lupus, when their headache gets worse, is there the reason for worsening of the headache is a natural pattern of the migraine, or the lupus is basically triggering the migraine? And that's important, because if this is a natural cause of the migraine, we need to do more aggressive treatment for migraine. But if the lupus is triggering the migraine, which this is that I see most often, if you want to get rid of the migraine or treat the headache, you need to treat the underlying lupus more aggressively. So in these patients, if you use more migraine medication, probably won't respond too much. These are the people that they refer to me as intractable migraine. While when you go and treat their underlying autoimmune disorder, the migraine gets better. And that is the part that we need a little more research, and I'm hoping that we can educate the community and as well as our colleague about this issue, to look at the possibility of some triggering by underlying autoimmune disorder in the people who label as intractable migraine.
Pretty helpful. Well, I'm wondering if there are any two-for-one therapies for either prevention of migraine and autoimmune disorders, or lifestyle changes or complementary therapies that we can be using that might help both conditions.
Yes. So in terms of the pharmacology, we talk about the steroidal and non-steroidal treatment. In terms of preventive, we don't have too much common medication, although sometimes the medication like amitriptyline, which we use for migraine prevention, they also use for IBD with diarrhea. So the GI doctors sometimes like to use the amitriptyline in those patients. In terms of the other lifestyle and the diet, so the some supplement that can cause or can help the inflammation, like turmeric. So they use turmeric for migraine now. I mean, we recommend actually, and also rheumatologists, they recommend the turmeric for inflammatory arthritis and rheumatoid arthritis for years. So very common thing, because anything that can reduce the inflammation, either medication or non-medication, can help both migraine and autoimmune disorder.
So I know a lot of people who use turmeric for migraine and general pain, but there isn't really evidence for migraine yet. What other kinds of research would you like to see happen for migraine and autoimmune disorders?
So the research that I would like to see is the work between neurologists, headache specialists, and the rheumatology community, because these are the patients, who are seeing rheumatologists and they have headache. First, you have to see if the migraine or just headache from the rheumatologic disorder, and then look at the treatment. So a lot of time now, when I'm diagnosing the patient with autoimmune and migraine, we really don't know what's the best treatment for that patient's autoimmune condition to help the migraine. We know the treatment for autoimmune disorder, but for example, for lupus, we have multiple medications, right? Use it, and the rheumatologist use it. But I would like to see which one is better for the patient who had lupus and migraine to help both, kill two birds with one stone, help the lupus and also get it out of their migraine or decrease their migraine. And that is the area that I would like to see more research on that. And that's the area that I strongly believe we lack a lot of evidence.
Yeah, clearly there's a lot to learn. So some bottom line takeaways are be careful with steroids, not too many on those.
Exactly.
Consider turmeric and any other things that, you know, lower sugar things that will reduce your inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Keep that under control. And then see both a neurologist and a rheumatologist if necessary to kind of deal with your condition.
Yes, exactly. Although finding the rheumatologist that really wants to take care of the headache component of the autoimmune disorder is not easy. I'm lucky that have two rheumatologists that I'm working closely for the last few years, and both of them is very interested in this subject, but it's sometimes not easy to find that.
Excellent. Well, Dr. Ansari, where can we learn more about your work?
So the work, of course, the PubMed and the area that more reliable area is the PubMed, of course, and UCSD website will be the area that the patients can go. And I'm hoping to, I'm actually working on to have my own website to give a little more patient education and my own experience to the patients. And I'm hoping by end of this year, my website go live.
Great. Well, that would be incredibly valuable. And when you do, we'll add a link below your talk so people can find out easily. Thank you so much for being here with us today on the Migraine World Summit.
Thank you very much for having me here. It was a pleasure. And hopefully your audience get a little information about this controversial subject that we have.